Here it comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest, and I'm really glad you are. Thank you for joining us. I want to mention right up front that this show is made possible because of the support of Tucson Electric Power Company, who has been supporting the work of Mrs. Green's World since just about day one. We are so very grateful for that support. It's part of what they do for preservation of the planet, and I am thrilled to have as my guest this very first day of October, Sharon Foltz, who's the manager of community relations at Tucson Electric Power Company. And they are headquartered right here in Tucson, Arizona, in a gorgeous green LEED certified building that I love to visit. So Sharon, thanks so much for being here. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Thank you, Mrs. Green. Yes, I love chatting with you.
And the time
I love
talking will fly.
Yes.
About the good things. So I just have this shout out because I really want to emphasize to people listening that we're talking about powerful partnerships. I did that in my write-up for the team. when it comes to being a meaningful, active partner in the community, TEP is truly an outstanding example. I go to a lot of stuff, as I say. I'm at a lot of events, both for charity, for sustainability, green, local first. And TEP is really, their name is there. If I go to an event, it's one of the first things I look for. So that's my two cents. It's almost impossible to go to something that TEP isn't supporting in some way. So my gratitude on the air for that. So my first question right out of the chute, there are no stump Sharon questions, is what do you do in your capacity as community manager of community relationships, and how much do you love that job?
It is a great job. And I first have to say thank you for noticing all the great work that our employees are doing at Tucson Electric Power. We do get to do a lot as a company, way beyond just providing safe, reliable electricity across Southern Arizona.
Which really matters to all of us.
It does, especially.
I might add.
Yeah. We especially notice it when we, you know, if we have a blip, but it is, we take it for granted sometimes.
Totally.
Because it's so silent and it's just part of our
lives. It's always there.
But we have amazing people at TEP and our sister company, Unisource Energy Services. And it's because of them that we're able to do so much in the community. And I do have one of the best jobs in the world. I essentially match community needs to company resources, whether they be people, donated services, money. And we do, for a very small company, 1,900 employees across UNS Energy, we invest about $7 million a year in the communities where we serve. And
That's huge for us.
We don't have a foundation, so it's huge for us. And it's not all money, but you talked about powerful partnerships. And that's one of the things that I'm proudest of, is that if there is a need or an opportunity, we're not limited because we don't have big checkbooks. We can do it through just company resources and the sheer innovation of our employees. And I have to give you one example, because we're in our 20th year of the volunteer program, of starting the volunteer program, of having a formal effort to be connected to the community through community relations. And that's, you know, I get to be the point person for that. It's kind of like, does Bill Belichick like being the coach of the Patriots? Yeah, you know, when you have
so.
A great,
it shows.
Yeah, when you have a great team and lots of opportunity, and yes, every week is a new challenge and every year is a new challenge, but we work with about 600 nonprofits a year across the state. And what happens in Nogales is very different than in Verde Valley or in Sholo or in
right.
Flagstaff. But it's all very important to that community, and that's what I care about, and that's what we as a company, and we have great support from the person who answers the phone in the call center, all the way up to the front office, our CEO, Paul Bonavie, as you
all
know.
We were just speaking about him off air and saying we're in his fan club. He's the real deal. And he's, he pace of the leader, pace of the team. And he's an amazing human being.
And
he's
one of my favorite guests.
He does.
He
does.
And I love it. And no offense to all the men listening, but you know, he actually does his own work. He doesn't farm it out to somebody and then like just do it.
Right.
Take credit
Not
for it.
He surprising.
He does his own work, which I really love. And he's actually good at like planting trees and things. He's learned from Harold Hummer some of the best.
And his wife loves Mrs. Green. I had to throw that in.
Yeah, so, that's true. Okay. Yeah, so it's a win-win. But one of the, when you talk about powerful partnerships, I'll give you an example. Most folks have heard of Savano Nurseries,
right.
Les Shipley. And we're also in our 20th year of our wonderful partnership with Tucson Clean and Beautiful Trees for Tucson, where we've planted through both the Trees for Tucson program and volunteer activities over 100,000 trees. And I'm very proud that in some parts, like down in Dunbar Springs and in some of the parks, these trees are now 20 years old and they're huge. But
I mean, think about that. Everybody needs to like press pause and absorb that. You know, we're doing a Trees for Tucson with Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they can do it is because TEP supports the program. So that's another powerful partnership. Instead of getting a keychain, if you get something at Honda, you have an option to plant a tree for Tucson in a park or in a school or whatever. So,
and they're native trees, low water,
right,
so they're sustainable. And along with that comes a lot of training. The folks in our right-of-way and Harold Hummer, arborist, one of the first arborists at a power utility in the West, to do a lot of training with neighborhood groups and staff and youth groups about how you plant and sustain a tree so that it lasts. Les Shipley of Savano and Harold Hummer were working very early on in the 90s about the need to not only save vegetation, native species that were removed during any kind of construction or road improvement, but also the need to bring back the population of native mesquites. And one of the other challenges that we have is there's a lot of green waste that gets done through tree trimming and things that was going in the landfill. So I don't know if it was Les's idea or Harold's idea, but between they came up with this idea to have an organic mulch process. So all the green waste, so we took carved out a piece that's out beyond the coal yard. And again, people driving by on I-10 just see the power plant and
they see
the coal yard. What they don't also see is we have huge acreage there dedicated to this green waste recycling that TEP provides the infrastructure and Savannah runs. All that organic mulch goes down to acres and acres of growing native mesquite trees that after
people
forest fires and things,
they don't know that.
That's where Forest Service is getting a lot of trees, and they're native trees thanks to Les's understanding of native plants. We also have 70 burrowing owl habitats out there that we've put in with Arizona Game and Fish and Wild
at Heart. Can you get Mrs. Green in there for a special showing?
You should come.
I'm really lighting up.
Yeah, next week, in fact, we're gonna rebuild some of the burrows and add some new ones because we're getting as home building starts coming up again, there's more burrowing owls that need to be relocated. And again, now this is
the
part
burrowing
of
owl relocation program. Nobody knows that.
Right.
Now
It's not open
it's
to
great.
The, and you know, they're really cute. And the fun thing is that once they get habituated out there, they move on to other parts of our OH landscape. So out by like the ponds, there's these earthen banks. It's just full of their new little burrows,
so
which is why
migrate.
We can bring,
I love it.
Yeah, they migrate. We also have a red-tailed hawk who has built a nest, and she's under the coal chute. Sadly, she's there because of the burrowing owls. It's part of the cycle of life.
It is.
Though, you know, so
we
it is
think
what
about
it is.
That.
Yes, right. So that's a partnership that TEP helped get going, and Les is wonderful. If you're ever doing a project with a nonprofit or at a park and you need organic mulch, he's awesome. He's donating two trees for our Make a Difference Day project at Tucson Urban League. We're going to put in two box trees on the parking lot to replace trees that came down.
And every tree that you plant makes a difference for the planet. I think people, you know, let's put that out there. Every little bit of emissions and everything that they're doing helps with the carbon footprint in a very positive way.
But I want to add to that, though. We need to do a better job. This is personal, maybe more than professional, but we need to do a better job of protecting the mature trees we have, because all trees are not created equal. A newly planted tree from a 15-gallon, it's going to take a couple years before it starts really doing its share of shade and air clean. So we don't protect full-grown trees maybe as well as we should and
could.
That's
a great point. Like, never cut down a cottonwood that's in a riparian zone.
Or even mesquites. People will cut down mesquites because they're tired of sweeping the driveway. Or you see a lot of road improvement projects or even downtown where they've taken out mature trees and they're not putting in trees again. So I think Flagstaff has done a good job on being very conscious. In fact, there's a great, I think it's a Chase Bank. You drive into the bank and there's a swivel in the driveway to get to the drive through because they wouldn't take down a big tree. I love that.
I love that too.
So
it's
think
so
that we
noteworthy.
Just, but protecting our big trees is as important as planting new trees.
Yes. Now, you talked about the planned activity like that where you're doing stuff with Tucson Clean and Beautiful and with Savano. You're also great at, and I hesitated about bringing this up, but it's so important. You really can respond quickly when tragedy strikes. And I want to talk a little bit about the Yarnell Hill fire, where 19 people were killed in one fell swoop. And TEP's response was absolutely and positively over the top outstanding, if you ask me. And I don't think a lot of people do that either. I love to toot your horn. I don't think a lot of people know that. Can you talk a little bit about some of the things that happened very quickly?
Absolutely. Well, we serve Prescott. Our sister company and the Hotshot firefighters, most of the families lived in the Prescott area and were well known to our employees. And then, of course, one firefighter was from Marana.
Right.
So it was very much driven by our employees. So very quickly, our employees started planning fundraisers and what can we do to help the victims. And the company just said, you know, we will match all donations that our employees give. We identified two charities that we felt definitely would be giving direct aid to the firefighters' families.
Which is families. What is needed in those situations.
Yes, because you get a lot of ancillary fundraisers and things happening, and the money goes into a fund, but not necessarily to the families. And we're the head of our volunteer committee in Verde Valley. Her husband is chief of police in Cottonwood, and her brother-in-law is on the fire department and very much a part of what was going on. And so she helped guide us to the two charities, the 100 Club of Arizona and the Prescott Firefighters Charities. And within literally a week, our employees were planning events all over. So car wash in Prescott, we did a huge event, a chili cook-off downtown at headquarters, and the firefighters came in and talked about the importance of the aid.
Right.
But all told, so we raised from our employees donated around, I think it was close to $30,000, which then the company matched dollar for dollar to those two. But even more important, I think that ongoing through the Prescott community, we will look at ways to be supporting
to
those
help.
Nonprofits who are helping those families.
Right.
Counseling, housing. And I think that's one of the pieces that we are very proud of and do very well, and that is it's who are the nonprofits that are the safety nets for whatever the issue is. So whether it's child abuse, hunger,
domestic violence, whatever.
Who are those agencies and how can we help them not only financially, but with board members, with volunteer activities, a lot of capacity building to make these organizations stronger? One of the things that I do a lot of and have since about 1998 is work at a state level and also locally on where are the big foundations, where the funding that could be potentially helping our service territory. And I see it through, we do grants that make a difference, which many nonprofits will know about. And it's just a piece of our contributions budget, but it's done strategically so that to kind of encourage but also force organizations, learn how to do an online grant application. Learn how to do a good case statement about what you're doing that makes a difference, and whatever it is around is for people in need.
And so, the process is important too. I mean, it's yes. it, to put the spotlight on that. So there are two things that in your response that I want to ask about. And like I said, I never have to cough until I go on the air. Excuse me. But one part is there are times, having been involved in nonprofits for my entire life, as far as I can remember, which was dark ages. And sometimes money is what you need and it helps. So you do give out dollars. What is the process for that? I don't think everybody does know. And that's the first part of my question. And the second part is, I am sure, I know this for a fact, that you get far more requests, far more needs out there than you can meet. So what is that process? Who has to decide and make the decisions on who gets money and who doesn't? Because in the nonprofit community, they wait to see what you're going to do, because every nonprofit that you help, it helps.
And it is a very competitive process. I will preface that with saying that I feel like in Southern Arizona, we are losing philanthropic dollars rather than gaining them, as we have fewer and fewer corporate headquarters and regional headquarters. In fact, we might be one of the last corporate headquarters in Southern Arizona, I think. So the process, as TEP, we donate about $1.3 million annually to charity. I will tell you that I get those requests alone for grants that make a difference, which is $100,000.
Right.
I get 10 times the number of requests
from
from nonprofits, from school groups, even from other governments, from government groups to fund. And about 70% of the money that the grants we give, follow or leverage employee volunteer engagement. Obviously,
I really want to talk about too.
Yeah. Well, again, we don't have a lot of money, but our people are the best. They have great skills. They have great innovation. They have great energy. They have great leadership.
And they step up. I mean, they do it.
And they do it well. I mean, an agency and anybody who's ever had a board member, you know, Emerge, the Food Bank, Habitat, they will tell you that the professional who comes to them from TEP and serves on their board is much more valuable than a $30,000 check.
Yes.
And so
it's ongoing support.
And creating relationships and leveraging things.
Opening doors.
Right. So it just, we have a couple of ways that people engage employee volunteers. There's a form on our website, TEP.com. So if you're having an event, say you're having a safety festival, or you're having a charity walk, or you want to repaint your building, you can request TEP volunteers to help. September and October alone, we had about 90 volunteer projects. So we do
a
lot.
It's so busy. It's the season.
It is. And each region, so every city, you know, Kingman, Lake Havasu, Flagstaff, Tucson, Springerville, every region has a small committee of volunteers, TEP employees who volunteer to be our CAT, Community Action Team Steering Committee. So all the requests for volunteers come to them. Now, some we have the same a person who every year I do the Boys and Girls Club shopping spree, or you know, we have an employee who does the food bank Saturdays for the food boxes.
Right.
So we already have a project coordinator. Other times it's a new event and we look for a project coordinator. If we don't have one out of the committee, we advertise and somebody steps up. If we have a project coordinator, then we go forward with the project. The company supports that volunteer activity to the degree that we can. We try to make volunteering at no cost to the employees. So if there's a $25 entry fee to be in the breast cancer walk, the company will negotiate with the agency. Can we just be a $1,000 sponsor and have unlimited volunteers, or whatever
sweet deal?
Well, again, we want to support the charity.
It's that leveraging
and leveraging, but also it's great awareness then for our employees about when they participate in the American Cancer Breast Walk. They're getting education about what breast cancer is. They're finding out about other services, the same way when we volunteer for the Southern Arizona Children's Advocacy Center, people become aware of like how pervasive child abuse is and the huge legal as well as social service needs that happen with these families. So it's a learning opportunity for our employees as well as a way to help the charity.
It's really
and raise
a ripple
some money.
Effect. I mean, it is. It's not just the great things you're doing for that agency, but then it comes home to the families of the employees that you're involving or that are choosing to get involved. There's really just no downside. It's really good.
It is wonderful. And it has, especially after 20 years, when people say, well, what's your focus? On the flip side, it's hard to say we don't have a single focus because our belief is in our practice, if it matters to our employees and they're willing to put their time and their talent and their funds towards it, then we're going to support that. Things that are closer to our core mission around, say, some environmental issues or child welfare or energy efficiency housing or economic development might get more money than, say, something that's more frivolous, like a model car show that's raising money for charity, but it's really about showing off your car. So that's where 70% of the money. And then we have the grants that make a difference, which is $100,000. Then we have a lot that goes to support economic development things. We just, Paul is on the TRIO board, and he Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities. And we've just committed to helping them do their next phase of the blueprint for economic development in Southern Arizona. A lot of work to help Davis-Monthan and Fort Huachuca be very successful in their federal goals around energy efficiency and self-reliance as far as energy sustainability. If there's a community initiative, the First Things First initiative, a couple of years ago, we were very involved in supporting the charity that was educating people about the needs for early childhood education and child wellness. And so we run out of money pretty darn quick.
It just goes on. I mean, you know, they're really and truly, you have to manage all that and be accountable to shareholders and on and on. I mean, it's a very complex carbohydrate to manage. So that's more respect for the impact that you have in the powerful partnerships.
Well, thank you for that. And we try to be fair. Grants That Make a Difference is one way that any organization within our service territory who's serving at-risk people can present their case to us. We're moving to have all online grant applications or any funding application. That's at tep.com/community. And again, it's because
that's very green.
It's very great.
I like that.
We're trying very hard. My goal would be within 3 years that we would be pretty much paperless, whether we'll get there. But it is certainly a goal, and we keep reducing the amount of paper we use. And it's also a tracking system. I don't think people realize how regulated we are as a utility. But just a little piece I do around contributions and memberships, I report that not only to our board of directors and officers, but also to numerous regulatory groups want to know, you as a company, what are you doing and how you're engaged?
Where are you giving your money? Yeah.
And after the Patriot Act, are they a legitimate 501c3 or 4? And so that's why this online system is so important. There's a little questionnaire at the beginning that's directly linked into the IRS. So we don't make the determination whether you're an appropriate nonprofit for us to be able to fund, but the IRS is making that determination.
That's great. I mean, it's safe for all around for everybody, because nobody wants to find out that you funded something that wasn't legit either. You don't, but neither then the splash about that would be horrible. So let me ask you this, Sharon Foltz. What is one of your favorite projects that you do? What puts that smile on your face and gets you excited about something every year? Because everybody has their favorites, not in terms of how you distribute the money, but I mean, as a person, as a human being, what gets you so excited?
Well, what I volunteer personally on that I get to choose to, because I volunteer in lots and lots of things. The two agencies that I care most deeply about and work with most is Southern Arizona Children's Advocacy Center.
Wonderful.
Which is being run by Kathy Rao, retired TPD, doing an amazing job, stepping up to fill the gap of what CPS can't fund anymore.
Which is a lot.
Yes. And so I just have to give a real shout out for them, that they're an agency people don't even realize exists, but that law enforcement, the judicial system, and social services.
It's a model for the country. I mean, Angel Charity is my experience with it, and we have funded them for the work they do. And I'll tell you, when we went on a tour of their facility, every single person cried.
Yeah.
It's easy for me, but some people that don't cry as easily, they're doing powerful work to help the most victimized children.
And people don't realize how severe child abuse is in Tucson. We have ranked in the top five in the last decade for child abuse for children under age one. It's a serious, and we could spend hours on that, so we won't. And then the other thing that I'm very passionate about and work very closely with is the Tucson Wildlife Center, Lisa Bates' organization.
Yes, I feel like I want to
ring the bell. Have you been out there?
No, I have not been out there.
Don't
embarrass me on air.
No,
I'm only kidding.
But I've got to take you out there because, again, though,
everybody about it.
It's yes, and again, they're stepping up. It was started as a rescue rehabilitation and release for wild animals. And they used to do just the urban Tucson area, mostly bobcats, hawks, javelina, little bunnies and birds. As Game and Fish, though, has had huge budget cuts over the last 7 years, they have stepped up now and are doing more and more. And they now do the rescue all the way from Safford to Douglas. They don't do Yuma, all over the Tohonatham Nation. And, of course, all of Pima County and up
one
to Casa Grande.
One person making a difference.
Well, she has two paid staff and then a core of 200 volunteers that are amazing. But what TEP is very involved, and then I'm very involved because she's building a hospital, an emergency care hospital. She has Tucson Wildlife Center has seven fabulous veterinarians who volunteer their time to do surgery. But there's this growing, and I'm pleased to say that TEP has been working on our raptor protection program now since 1996, and we get better all the time thanks to partners like Arizona Game and Fish and the Desert Museum and University of Arizona.
We should
Dr.
do a
Mannon.
Whole show on that because it's that very outstanding.
Well,
I mean,
and
it really is.
Our model, thanks to the research that Dr. Mannon at University of Arizona has spearheaded, our program is now best practices for electric utilities in North America as far as identifying where the nest sites are and then bird guarding around them. So, but another problem that we're starting to have a lot in Southern Arizona is lead poisoning in raptors, especially golden eagles and harris hawks, because they eat the entrails of an animal that has been shot, and then people do field dressing. So the lead ammunition is often still left there. So a couple years ago, probably almost 10 years ago, we helped Tucson Wildlife Center build the a free flight aviary for rehabbing hawks, and it's great. But now as they're having more and more eagles, they needed a much bigger structure. So TEP linemen have just finished. We've been working on it since February. The eagle aviary is almost done. U.S. Fish and Wildlife loves it so much that they're actually going to be sending an eagle down from Utah to do its rehab.
Oh, my gosh. So this one program, I was driving to the presentation that you did on Tucson Boulevard about 6 months ago.
Oh, yes.
The Raptor program, and I'm tired, and I'm saying, why did I say I would go to this? So I got there, and, of course, I was one of the last to leave. It was very, very engaging. Lots of people were there, cared about it. It's a way to protect the raptors. I never looked at a hawk the same way again after I went to that program. Sharon, it's outstanding.
Thank you.
So the best way to find out about the programs is TEP.com/community relations.
Well,
I can find anything on your website.
TEP.com is a great source for anything like to take the energy audit and know where you could save electricity in your house, to make changes on your bill, to look at new programs like, do you want to be on budget billing, to find out about volunteering, just to even under education, you can look, take a power plant tour.
It's a content-rich site, so TEP.com. And I knew Sharon and I were talking before air. This is a show for which I had to do zero preparation because I knew we would have much more to talk about in 30 minutes than I would have questions for. So Sharon, thank you for what you're doing. In case you just tuned in, Sharon is the manager of community relations at Tucson Electric Power Company. And I just want to give a shout out for next week. Electric vehicles on the move. Our very own Colleen Crown and Shield from Clean Cities Coalition, Pima Association of Governments, and she will be talking to us about everything that's happening and the good news front with electric vehicles. Thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World, and make it a great green week, always, every week. Thanks, everybody.